morning, everyone. Great to have you here this morning. Just want to let you know that we're up to our second last sermon in this sermon series, Everybody's Welcome, as we've walked our way through the Gospel of Luke. Now, of course, we didn't go through every single story or passage, but it's been encouraging to spend some time in a gospel. You know, we started this sermon series with the birth of John the Baptist before Christmas, walked our way through Christmas into the new year, and then culminating in the last weekend of Good Friday and also Easter Sunday. Today we're looking at this other passage at the second half of chapter 24, and then Paul is going to bring it all together next week with the ascension of Jesus. And so I think it's great to be able to get a sort of an overview of the story of Jesus as recorded by Luke. And I've hoped that's been a blessing to you. And along with that, for many of our growth groups who have been following along in all of that, I know our growth group has been blessed by the opportunity to spend some time digging into the stories of Jesus. And we've got another one here for the sermon today. Make sure you grab one of those. And if you're part of a growth group, follow along with that, or if you've got others that you can join with. So this is, 18 weeks of the Gospel of Luke. And today, Luke 24, 13 to 35. So we're going to be spending our time. So if you've got your Bibles with you there, just have that passage in front of you there. Now I'm going to ask a question. I don't know whether this is going to work or not, but I'm going to ask a question. Have you ever been in a place where you've seen somebody and you didn't expect them to be there? Now, I'm going to give you an example, and it came back to me during this week. I remember with my parents, I was a 14-year-old way back in the 1970s. We went on a road trip to Perth, and I remember, you know, bits and pieces of our holiday in Perth. And I remember walking down one of the main streets of Perth as a 14-year-old, and passing the other way was a schoolmate in Western Australia from Ballarat, Victoria. And it's just one of those moments you go, was that what I thought I saw? A schoolmate also having holidays in Western Australia walking down the same street, and you just go, what are the chances of that? Now, has anybody had an experience like that? Seeing somebody, you know, in a completely... I've dropped this on you and, oh, hang on, here we go. Now, I think, Sue, you've got an experience, have you? Oh, it's a...
We went to Disneyland.
Oh, have we got that one there? No?
Am I on? Yes.
There it is.
I went to Disneyland years ago with my family, my two boys, and the first people we saw when we walked in was a group from Austinville Baptist.
In Disneyland,
yes.
California.
Yes.
Now, this could go on.
We had a young student here in the church from Hong Kong years ago. And in 2015, I went on a holiday to Hong Kong with a girlfriend. And I had to contact this girl. And, of course, Hong Kong, big. We were walking down the street and she walked past me. I couldn't believe it.
In Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong.
You meet everybody in Hong Kong, don't you? Any others? There may be one or two others. Everyone's probably got a story.
We're in Japan, and we're coming home on the aeroplane from Osaka, I think it was, and we had to wait for a while, so we went into a cafe to have a coffee and so forth. There's a young chap sitting there, and we had to kind of, we sat down and talked to him, engaged him, and we said, oh, where are you from? And he said, oh, I'm over here at the university in Tokyo.
Japan.
And he said, I come from Kyogle.
Kyogle.
Kyogle. Mm. Well, at that time, we lived at Edenville, just south of Kyogle. Well, he said, oh, you wouldn't know. That's only a small place.
There you go. Maybe one more. We got, yep.
Oh, We were walking through Sherwood Forest in Nottingham in England.
The Robin Hood fame, Sherwood Forest, yep. And you come across Robin Hood, no?
Not quite, no. Walking towards us through the forest in the path was someone that Neil knew from Alstonville.
There you go. Maybe one more. We could go all morning. Don't worry about the sermon, but you just tell stories.
Just a couple of years after we'd migrated from Belgium, there was a knock on our door in Sydney, and I went and opened the door, and the fellow said, "Is this the house for George Murer?" And I said, "Yes." "Can I see him?" And I said, "Could I tell him who's talking?" And he said, "I'd like to surprise him." So I went and got Dad, and Dad came to the door, and this fellow had been his apprentice bootmaker in Belgium.
Wow, okay. How good's that? Now, I know what's going to happen after the service. You're going to come up and you're going to tell me all of these other stories, and you can tell others about unexpected people in unexpected places. And it does happen. We have these experiences where you go, "I just was not expecting that." And here's the thing about this story. The story on the road to Emmaus, this unexpected events happened. And as we see in here, these two disciples walking on this path and this completely unexpected situation. And I go a little bit further and I go, can you think about a time when God showed up when you least expected that? Now, for many of you, you'd go, well, every time I go to church, I would hope that God shows up. But that's probably, we've probably got different filters on and we're expecting all of that. But can you agree that there have been times, it could be in your workplace, it could be in a social setting, it could be in a hospital, it could be down at the local park or whatever, and you just know that God was there and he was doing something. Completely unexpected. You weren't preparing for it, you weren't praying for it necessarily, but there it is and it happens. And we see this in this story here. Now, I've got sort of four ideas regarding this passage here today in Luke 24. And I think the more I spent time on this story this week, the more I realized this story is really about us. It's really about our journey and our interaction with Jesus. The first point that I want to make, or the idea that I've got, is this. Disillusionment on the journey. That sounds like a big word, isn't it? Disillusionment on the journey. There are times, or should I ask this as a question, are there times in your life where you experience confusion, disappointment, uncertainty? Times in your life where you just go, life just doesn't make sense to me at the moment. You've had that? Maybe you're in the middle of that. I don't know whether you're a doomsday prophet, but probably tomorrow, the next day, there may be a time when you experience uncertainty, disappointment, and confusion. Let's have a look again at this passage and let's try to immerse ourselves in this story. Go back to verse 13 again. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. Now, that same day, this is the second part of Luke 24. What happened in the first part of Luke 24? The resurrection. So this is happening immediately, the same day as they found the empty tomb. So think about it in terms of that. This is not a week later, a month later, the same day. Two of the disciples going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they're about 7 miles, you know, let's say about, 13 Ks out of Jerusalem, walking on the road, going about their business, whatever reason they had to go to Emmaus for. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, if you go to verse 17, let's reflect on this for a moment. Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" they stood still, their faces downcast. Why were their faces downcast? Now, we can speculate, but it seems to be quite clear for these disciples who had given up everything and they were committed to following Jesus for a number of years. They were certain that there was going to be this fantastic outcome. But like us, we set grand plans. We think that God's going to bless us and multiply things and everything will work out. But so often in the journey of life, we become distressed or disillusioned because things don't work out the way that we thought. Yes? We thought we knew how life was going to pan out, whether it be in our relationships. We think that, you know, it's all going to work out there within our career, within our finance. We think the world events, we think the world can only get better and better and then it doesn't. And we hear about all of the events that are occurring around our world and we can get easily quite disillusioned. Now, we've got these two disciples walking together on the way to Emmaus, confused and disappointed. If we go down a little bit further into verse 21, have a look at verse 21, and I think this gives us a glimpse. They said, "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place." Now, of course, they're talking about the third day since that took place is the crucifixion of Jesus. So that's the third day. So that's the timeline in all of this. Our faith can easily be shaken. Now, once again, think about the timeline here. The same day as the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it was only a week ago before that, it was Palm Sunday, wasn't it? I mean, it was about 3 weeks ago when we celebrated, but it was really only a week in the timeline that here they were singing Hosanna to Jesus as he triumphantly entered into Jerusalem. Now, if you as a disciple trying to not think about what happened in the events after that. As a disciple, you're thinking, here's Jesus, you know, marching into Jerusalem. There's going to be a great outcome in all of this, isn't there? He's going to redeem. And this was the thing, the disciples thought that Jesus was going to redeem Israel physically, in an actual physical act, and or politically. So they were hoping for an overthrow. They were hoping to set up a new physical kingdom like the kingdom of David, the great moment in Israel's history. So you can imagine that within a week's time, all of this had happened. Jesus had been arrested and crucified. The disciples had been scattered and they'd be going, what just happened then? What just happened then? We struggle to understand God's plan and life's challenges can simply overwhelm us. Have you ever, in your situation, had that? Where you thought, I'm going to serve God. If I serve God, if I trust in him, everything's going to work out well, isn't it? Hey? We're just going to march on to heaven. Everything will just be smiles and rose petals, and doesn't always happen that way, does it? And this is what's happening here on the road to Emmaus. These disciples, downcast, questioning what happened in this last week. Which leads me to my second idea. And the second idea is this: divine presence in unexpected places. Divine presence in unexpected places. Let's look at this again, and there's a few references to this, but look at verse 15. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. It's a precious part of the story, isn't it? Just trying to imagine, is it they walking along and he suddenly appeared, or did he catch up, or did he come in and just, the mind boggles as to how that actually happened. And here he is, Jesus walking alongside them. These disciples experienced something extraordinary out of the ordinary. Totally unexpected. Just like we're talking about these other stories, I wasn't expecting this. And all of a sudden, something extraordinary happens. Yet they don't recognize him for whatever reason God had in all of this. And it's a profound truth here for us. Christ often reveals himself in unexpected ways, in unexpected places. Do you have a sense of anticipation at the start of each day? Jesus, please show yourself in some way today to me. Give me eyes to be able to see you and to be guided by you through this day. Now, I'll confess, I don't pray that every day. I'd like to pray it every day, and when I remember, I pray that every day. But I think too often we start the day thinking about all of the jobs, the chores, the responsibilities, the activities that we're going to have for this day, and focus on it with our own, you know, physical eyes and cognitive mind. And I think there's times when we need to say, Jesus, what is it that you're wanting to do today? And can I see you in these days' activities and be led by you in all of this? Because I think one of the truths here for us is that Jesus is with us every day, all the time. But we, like these disciples, fail to recognize him. We don't see what it is that he is doing. We don't hear his voice. So Jesus is with us, revealing himself in unexpected ways and unexpected places. And in our lowest moments, quite often, we can feel lost and abandoned. We need to know the truth that Christ is there walking with us, offering comfort and guidance. Too often we don't recognize him. We don't listen to his voice. Now I wonder, this passage, this particular verse, verse 15. Put yourself into that passage for tomorrow. Just for example, tomorrow, Monday, I don't know what plans you've got for tomorrow. As you're going about your normal activities on Monday, Jesus himself comes up and walks alongside us. I'm not stretching it too much here, am I? Can we believe that? Can we live that? That's us in that story. Now, the third big idea that I want to bring to you out of this passage is revelation through scripture and fellowship. Now, I think out of this, there's two key principles that we see happening here in this passage. Scripture and fellowship. And these two things help us, particularly at difficult times. And look what happens in this passage. I'll go back through verse 27 and 20 through to 29 again. And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he, Jesus, explained to them what was said in all of the scriptures concerning himself. The good thing in this trip, which would have taken most of the day, they had nothing else to do except walk and talk. And here they are listening and interacting with Jesus all of the way through to Emmaus. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. Two big ideas in all of this. Teaches them through scripture. Now, the thing that I like about what we read in this passage here, Jesus just doesn't give them a couple of little pithy passages and just sort of say, listen to this, listen to that. On the journey, he's taking them on a spiritual, a scriptural journey through the Old Testament. And I can imagine it says, beginning with Moses and the prophets. It's almost like I'm going to take you on a journey. I'd like to equate that a little bit to over these last 18 to 20 weeks, we've been on a journey through the Gospel of Luke. We don't just grab a few little passages here and there. We're actually looking for the grand theme of Jesus' redemptive act from his birth through his crucifixion to his resurrection and next week to his ascension. And I think it's really important for us as followers of Jesus, not just to know, and it's good to sort of know some favourite little passages or little things that resonate with us, but to know the big picture in all of this. What is the big story of the Bible from creation through to the second coming of Jesus Christ? That he's come to basically rescue us. It's important to see the big picture. And here's the other thing too. Studying Scripture together. You see this is happening in fellowship. It doesn't just happen on our own, not only with Jesus, but together within community. Now, I don't know about you, but I read the Bible regularly on my own, and it's a blessing to read the Bible on your own. But you know what's really enriching? Is when you read the Bible within your growth group or within fellowship or one-on-one with other people, and it becomes enriching because they bounce back what they see in that passage. And it's a blessing when this iron sharpening iron, when people bounce back different ideas from the passage as we grow together, iron sharpening iron. Do you agree with me in all of that? How important it is to read together in community. Don't forsake reading it on your own, but yearn for the moment to be able to read together in community. So we quite often learn and are challenged the most about the words within the Bible. So, revelation through Scripture and fellowship. And the last point that I'd like to make in all of this is transformation through encounter. Look at the climax of this story here. So here it is. They've just walked all the way to Emmaus. They're gathered together in someone's home there. And in verse 30 we read, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? What an amazing moment there in that home during a meal, the breaking of bread. Their eyes are open and they are, Jesus really is with us. We can see this with our own eyes. Realize the presence of the risen Lord. And it sees in that moment there that they're transformed. It was only a few hours earlier they had massive questions, their posture was being downcast, and that they're talking about burning hearts, doubts disappearing, faith is renewed, filled with joy, because they know that they have had fellowship with the risen Lord. So what do you do with that experience? What do you do with that information? What do you do once that has happened? And I think the response is found in the next three verses, verse 33 to 35. They got up, this is the disciples, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Our response, tell others. Share the good news with others. We can't keep that to ourselves. We're empowered to share the good news that the Lord has risen. So here's a recap of those four ideas that I've just mentioned to you. We experience disillusionment on the journey, do we not? Confusion, disappointment, etc. Jesus comes to us in unexpected places and in unexpected times. And through the reading of his word and the fellowship with him, along with his church, we gain revelation. And then we're transformed through that encounter. And my prayer today is that we will be transformed just as those two disciples were transformed, the experiencing and fellowship with the risen Lord, that we too can do that. Some of you would say, well, yeah, but it was different because Jesus was physically present with them. Jesus is present today by his Spirit. Sometimes we just have to have the eyes to be able to see and the faith to believe. And I think it is so appropriate that as on that day when they met in fellowship in these disciples' homes and Jesus broke bread with them, and it was through the breaking of bread and the sharing of that meal together, it seems that their eyes were open and they would see the risen Lord. And so I'm going to invite anybody here this morning who loves Jesus, whether you're part of this church or not, you're welcome to come and share in this meal, symbolic of the breaking of bread that was done when Jesus met with his disciples just immediately before his arrest. But then we see here again the breaking of bread together in homes where they shared that fellowship. Can I read to you again the passage in verse 30 of this passage today? When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And through this act, and by faith, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. My prayer today is that as we take a biscuit representing the body of Jesus and a cup representing the blood of Jesus, which was broken and poured out for us, that we may know forgiveness and a future and his kingdom, that we too will have our spiritual eyes open. That as we go from here this next week, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and on, that we will have the eyes to see Jesus walking with us. I was looking at this passage during the week and I thought, wow, what a spectacular passage. But then I also thought, to a large extent, it's a very ordinary passage with a very unexpected outcome. People going about ordinary business and encountering the risen Lord. True. May we, I was going to say ordinary people, people in ordinary circumstances going about your normal business, having eyes to see the risen Lord. Would you like me to pray for you for that? Heavenly Father, I pray that as we join together in the breaking of bread and the drinking from the cup, in fellowship with Jesus, we thank you that you are here. You are with us by your Spirit. And you will go with us when we go from this place, for whatever we do for the rest of today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we can be confident that you will be with us at every point. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that as we remember you by eating the biscuit and drinking from the cup, that you would open our eyes to see you walking alongside us. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, and no matter who we are with, you are there. As we take, eat, and drink together today, strengthen us, transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to invite you all, if you love Jesus, to come forward, take a cup with a biscuit, cup with some juice, make your way back to your seats. And when everybody is seated again, how about we eat and drink together? Thank you. Let's take and eat and remember what Christ has done for us. Blood of Jesus Christ that's washed away my sin. Let's drink. And the response, the disciples went back to Jerusalem and they said, "It is true, the Lord has risen." And we know that he is with us today. Dear Lord Jesus, open our eyes that we may see you. Give us eyes of faith and transform us as we keep our eyes on you. And we pray this in your name.